Should I introduce myself also on this?
No, just for the record. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, just to get down to the, isn't the real issue in this case whether it's moot or not?
That was the instructions from the court to be prepared to discuss the mootness issue. And under the standards of, or the exceptions for mootness, this would cite the EEOC versus the Federal Express Corporation under 558F3rd 842, that there's the four exemptions to mootness. I think the first two in that decision would be applicable, that there's a collateral legal consequences and also the wrongs capable of repetition of any review based on the challenge action is too short. The collateral legal consequences is that under 20 U.S. Code 1415 sub J, there's an issue of stay put, that during any legal procedure, a child will remain in his then current educational placement. Judge Ezra and the underlying district court case granted stay put to Loveland Academy.
So therefore, there are no monetary consequences, right?
Pardon me?
So there's therefore no monetary consequences. Isn't that true?
There's no monetary consequence.
And there's no stay put order in effect now because he's somewhere else.
No, there is a stay put order right now. He is in stay put because this is a continuation from the district court case. So stay put applies through the pending of this. Judge Ezra ordered that the placement would be in Five Oaks, Texas. If the case was dismissed for mootness, his judgment would be the last judgment for.
But there was a later placement. IEP, and he was, which determined that he was to be placed back in Maui.
Yes, and that judge after that case, he said, "I'm granting you stay put at Loveland. You know, Mr. Master, you have work to do. You need to go file another request for due process on this," which he thought was a. He thought it was very absurd that the department would be recommending Five Oaks and Baldwin High School at the same time. And he expected probably that the issue would be resolved at the administrative level. I did file. That was in a DOE SY09-10087, June 9th. The hearing officer actually ruled that Baldwin School is appropriate. He didn't say anything wrong with the testimony. Flip-flopping from the DOE witnesses, and that didn't see any issue regarding
right now. There was then an IEP saying that he should be placed in Maui. Did you file a due process request? Did you object to that? Was there an objection to that by the parents?
I filed for request for due process and did not prevail. The hearing officer ordered placement at Baldwin. That has been appealed. Number 10-00381. SONBMK, it's before Judge Mulway. There's a question of stay put, the issue, the legality of where his then current educational placement is. If this case is dismissed, Judge Ezra's ruling that his placement is at Baldwin, the state could conceivably, the DOE conceivably, cease making payments to Loveland Academy, saying, that the state put has been terminated by the dismissal of mootness of case 17-606. I could conceivably bring a motion in front of Judge Mulway asking for stay put back at Loveland. She may not grant that.
But there's no chance that anybody's sending him to Texas. Is that right? Which is the only issue before us at this point.
I would say I don't know, because The everything the department has done was trying to get my client Marks out of Loveland Academy. If the court dismisses this on mootness, if there's no determination that Loveland is an appropriate program, it is the least restrictive environment, I can take that as an issue for a motion for stay put so that he could stay there until the issue of Baldwin High School is resolved in front of Judge Mulway. If not, the department can say, look, under Judge Ezra's rule, stay put now is at Five Oaks, so you have to send your son to Five Oaks because we're not paying Loveland anymore. The parent would be forced to send her child to Five Oaks or not. Right now there's no contract for it, but it is something that is very likely to happen, because I think the department would know that the parent would not send the child to Five Oaks. Loveland would not be
stay
get paid.
Stay put is not about where the child is. Stay put is where the child is. So if the child's in Loveland, just wait a second.
My apologies.
If the child is in Loveland, why isn't she entitled to stay in Loveland pending the Baldwin Hills due process as well as pending this one?
That is what I would argue.
So if that's the only issue, presumably it could be settled, it could be solved by an understanding between you and the government about whether he's going to stay in Loveland pending the other case.
If the government conceded that stay put was at Loveland Academy pending the case at 10-003-81, that would resolve that collateral legal issue. But
all right, so let's go on. We have to find out whether they will. So what about the – then you also claim capable of repetition yet evading review. But the precise issue, there's no indication that sending them back to Texas is an issue that's going to arise again.
The state, if it loses its issue in Judge Mulway and Loveland Academy is again found to be in the appropriate program, the state could call a meeting, which they have done repeatedly, chronically since 2001, every 6 months or so, and make another request for a placement. They can conceivably propose that Marcus needs to go to Texas. It's a less expensive program. It would resolve the issues of his residential component, and they wouldn't have to deal with Loveland anymore.
You said something before about the mother family lived on Maui. Do they still live in Maui?
The father has died.
I know that.
So the mother lives on Maui, and she works for Continental Airlines. She's 1 week in Brazil and 1 week on Maui. So she's only there half the time. It would be to have the child lose stay put and be forced out of Loveland would be have dire consequences, because the child has no place to go. She essentially would have to give him up to the state. If the state would propose that the child go back to Five Oaks per Judge Ezra's order, that's conceivable, but that would be, I think that would be a travesty in this particular matter.
How old is the child?
Pardon me?
How old is he now?
I believe he's 16 right now, 16 or 17. He's currently at Loveland, and he's in the therapeutic living program. The therapeutic living program, by the way, has been certified at Loveland Academy, so it's, he's receiving adequate services there. It is the LRE under 300-516-B3. It's which under LRE, it all things being equal, if one program's fine, the other program's fine. It's whichever program's closer to the child's home, and irrespective of that. Five Oaks is out in the middle of rural Texas, built on double-wide trailers, primarily for behavioral disoriented children, and whether the appropriateness of it, it's still in Texas.
You've got about a minute and a half left. Let's hear from the state, and then you will have a minute and a half to respond.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning again, Your Honors. Deputy Attorney General Gerald Ushiro on behalf of the Department of Education. I would argue that, yes, the issues in regards to this student going up to Texas are moot. I don't believe the Department of Education has any intention, even if we do prevail, of sending him up to the Texas residential facility. There have been other IEP team meetings that have determined that the student should be at his home high school, Baldwin High School, and I believe that based upon the data that they have, which is more current and up-to-date, their evaluations and recent observations that they have done, that their determination is correct. So,
about the stay-put issue?
Pardon me?
What about the stay-put issue as a collateral legal consequence of declaring it moot?
The stay-put issue would be, we would request that this court affirm Judge Ezra's decision in finding that the DOE did provide the student with the least restrictive environment.
So you're saying it's not moot?
Pardon me?
So you're saying that it's not moot? To put it directly, if we declared it moot, would the department's position be that the stay-put order was lapsed and therefore that the child could be moved from Loveland?
Yes. Or we wouldn't be responsible for his payment to attend Loveland Academy.
So it's not moot. I mean, how could it be moot if in fact there would be an on-the-ground consequence of an order approving Judge Ezra's order? I mean, you could take the position, which would make sense to me, that there would still be a stay-put order at Loveland in effect because of the other due process proceeding, but you're not taking that position, so it's not moot.
I stand corrected.
So are you taking the position or not?
Well, I would take the position that it's not a moot issue, at least in regards to stay put.
Because the department's position would be that if the case were affirmed, that there would no longer be a stay put order in effect at Loveland, and that despite the pendency of the other due process proceeding before Judge Mulway, you would attempt to move him now from Loveland.
Well, isn't there a way to get a stay put order in the case that's still pending instead of the case that's, you know, closed?
I'm not aware.
Well, in other words, there's this other case still pending, right?
Yes, there is.
Well, why can't the student get a stay put order in that case? Why doesn't stay put apply in that case until that case is resolved?
I believe because stay put is from this matter that's before you right now.
So in other words, your position would be that the stay put order would then be to the place in Texas? So we'd have to go to Texas?
No. Well, I would say because his IEP teams have made more recent determinations that the stay put would be at Baldwin High School.
You see, it seems to me a stay put is like a temporary restraining order that's in effect until the case ends.
Yes.
And just because they say, well, you know, if you dismiss the case, the TRO is going to expire, that doesn't keep the case alive. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, or like a stay pending appeal. Say, well, you know, we're going to affirm on appeal, but we're going to keep the stay in effect. We can't do that except in very limited circumstances. So it seems to me the place to get the stay put order is the case that's still alive.
Or the recent appeal.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Have you guys done any mediation through our court, and would there be any point in trying to get, would you agree if we were to suggest it to talk, we have an excellent mediation office, this issue has been dragging on, or these issues, related issues, but complicated issues, have been dragging on for many, many years. They're complicated. Would the state be willing to see, at least on an initial basis, one of our mediators to see whether there's some way to come up with a sensible solution to all this?
I believe that they would be, yes.
Have you mediated before with our mediators?
I attempted...
With respect to these parties, I mean, not in your life.
No, okay. I haven't.
Okay.
Thank you.
Response? We got about a minute and a half.
Do you have a response to the one, when you stand up, will you give us a response to the mediation suggestion?
A response to the mediation issue?
Yes.
Yes. Mediation was ordered in this matter, and...
Was what? I'm sorry? Mediation was what?
Ordered, I think, in this matter.
When? Where? By whom?
The Ninth Circuit mediation. It is, you know, they say, like, here's the mediator, and we call up, we have a mediation of trying to resolve this issue, and you're right, reports whether mediation is possible. I guess, well, it was a proposal to see if mediation was possible. That was it.
And
it was determined that mediation was not possible. The department...
Determined by whom?
By the mediator that was appointed.
Did you object to mediation?
I did not object to mediation.
And did the state object to mediation?
Yes. Well, their position was so entrenched that it was clear that there was nothing to mediate about. Their position was that they weren't going to move left or right on the issue. That so it was on something like this, which involves placement at Loveland academy, which is it's very expensive, and so they want him out of there, and that, you know, it's either he's in or he's out, and so there's no way to be halfway there or not. So there was nothing really to compromise on the issue.
Well, in terms of whether the case is moot, I gather you'd be in the same position if the case were moot or if the case were affirmed. You'd still have no longer a stay put order in that case, and you'd have to deal with it in the other case.
Exactly. If the case, if you affirm Judge Ezra's order, yes, this matter would be terminated unless I did a writ of certiorari that was accepted in the Supreme Court, which would be very unlikely. So, we would have to it would be right back to the beginning. We could do a motion first. We do a motion stay put in front of Judge Mulway and try to have her to determine which is the the then current placement, which, again, as indicated by the deputy, their position is pretty much they want him out of Loveland, and their position is that the stay put will be terminated by the cessation of these proceedings.
And have you tried to get it? Have you applied for stay put?
Have not tried with Judge Mulway on this issue yet. That is something. I anticipated that Judge Ezra's decision would be overturned. Maybe I'm anticipating more than I should be, but if not, then I will have to go in front of Judge Mulway and ask.
You've never actually told us why it should be overturned. The problem is that on the record, as existed at that point, I understand that you dispute a lot of what's in the record, but on the record, why would we not affirm Judge Ezra's order? On the record that existed at the time of the due process hearing and the circumstances that existed at the time of the IEP, why would we not affirm Judge Ezra's order? I understand they switched gears later, and then...
Well, because of the circumstances and issues of my brief, that that the evidence at the hearing was clear that the decision of hearing officer Ohm was procured by incomplete information or misleading information, that the department had no intent of ever placing him at Baldwin and did not disclose that to the hearing officer.
That didn't deal with the issue with the Judge Ezra was incensed on the one hand, but on the other hand, he realized in the end that it didn't have to do with the information on the ground at the time of the IEP.
Yeah, and he did. He quoted the Adams case, which based on the Furman decision of the circuit, that the IEP is a snapshot of what is objectively reasonable at the time of the IEP. This was made by the same IEP team members that gave the incomplete and inadequate information or testimony at the hearing. Also,
you're over time. If you want to sum up very quickly.
Oh, the Adams is inapplicable because the IEP team members did not make a need determination on objective information. They had subjective feelings about the lack of information that was providing. There was no objective information, even under the. Union School v. Smith decision, the lack of information is not the fault of the parent. And so Judge Ezra's application of that case is inapplicable.
Okay, thank you. 09-17606 now submitted for decision.